This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night. That was a track called Prednisolone, the Alan Brown Quintet. Now, there's a reason I'm playing that is because in the studio right now, I've got John Scurry sitting next to me, and he's probably going to be a bit more, I don't know, qualified to talk about prednisolone. But for my little summing up of that was that it was on an album that seems to be a bit of a tribute to a time when Alan Brown was going through, I guess you could broadly say, medical difficulties. Would you say that, John?
Yes, Alan was a recipient of a lung. He had a lung transplant.
Yes.
He had very bad emphysema for a number of years,
yes,
which prevented him from playing, actually. The titles on this Cyclosporin album are drugs, I gather, yeah. And he often made reference with naming tunes to that effect, and you know, and treating it lightly, and sort of making about art about his life.
In the album, there's a tagline that says that this album was made possible because of an anonymous organ donor and the staff at the Alfred Hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite powerful sort of reading that on the inside of an album cover. I'll just introduce you a little bit more formally. Yeah, a bit more formally. The reason why. So John Scurry, who's the other voice who we're hearing, I'm actually a little bit quite honoured to have someone who's, you know, been in jazz for so long sitting next to me in the studio. He actually played in the Red Onions, the Red Onions band, with Alan Brown, and where I guess we've got the honour of talking to you because of a concert that's coming up later this week. But first, why don't we talk a bit about you know, your journey?
Guess,
Who we've got here? Yes.
Well, I'm still a baby at it, but it's 50 years later or more. Well, my engagement with involvement with jazz is really very connected to Alan, because the first real band I played with, apart from sort of high school sort of playing around, was with the Onions, when I met Alan one night at the what was called the Katarina Cabaret, which is now the McDonald's in St Kilda opposite Luna Park.
Wow, I know.
And
it.
There was a jazz gig up there on a Sunday night. So anyway, through that, I sat in with the band, and a few weeks later, he actually took my number, and next thing I know, I've joined the band. So it was wonderful, you know. And so over about a 50-year-plus period, we played on and off for a long, long time in different guises and different bands, mainly his bands, of course, because he was a leader of the Onions, and he formed the band with Brett Eagledon, who lives up in New South Wales and is still playing, and Bill Howard, who passed away in 96. And I came along a few years later, but we played for decades together.
Am I right in saying he was mostly on the drums? But you're still, like, he was still the leader of
It was sort of a bit of a it wasn't so strict, but Alan was nominally the leader.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show vlogs, go to joy.org.au. That was the Billy Goat Stomp by the Red Onions.
Yes,
on Bent Notes on Joy 94.9. Yeah. There was the sound of a goat all the way through that piece. John Scurry, what can you tell me a bit more about that goat? Did you have a goat?
The goat masqueraded as a clarinet player, who was a very famous, later very famous performer in a band called The Loved Ones, in the 60s, a rock band in the 60s. When the Beatles sort of came through town and music changed overnight, three of the guys in the band decided that stage a bit of a coup and leave.
So that was,
and formed this group.
And that was the clarinet player who was making the zine. This is back in 1965, left the Red Onions.
But that's, I just put that in as instrumental of the Onions' early days and whatever, because Alan's, we're talking about Alan, we're talking about his musicality, and his, he was a great, great drummer, very fine musician, made numerous recordings with very, very many, many groups, and won numerous awards for his music. I threw that in because it was, you know, that sort of percussive sound he had of playing rhythmic, which there was something there always that never changed. Even, and that's why hopefully he can play a really late recording from the, you know, like a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
just get a sense of the same drive and energy that was there. You know, it was amazing.
I'm absolutely loving listening to this. I'm also I'm so honoured that you're here in the studio talking to me about it. And you're the same person who was on that recording back from 1965. I actually want to even rewind even further. What got you into music in the first place?
I was blessed with having an older brother who was into music at 4 years older than me, and who was collecting records in the early 60s. Jazz music and blues and Delta blues, you know, urban blues and Delta blues and early jazz. And there was a, early jazz was very popular in the late 50s and early 60s, and sort of internationally in America and Europe and here in Australia. So through that, I just got to hear a lot of stuff. And then in those days, you either had a choice of becoming a jazzer or a rocker, you know. Rock and roll then was pretty basic sort of stuff. It wasn't like, it was a hit parade sort of thing, rather than what happened after the Beatles. So the more sophisticated of us who wore duffel coats and liked to carry a pipe and smoke that opted for jazz and desert boots as well, sorry. So that was through that. And then my first, I guess my first encounter was really hearing the Onions, because they were really popular. And they were only a couple of years older than me, most of the guys. But when you see guys up on the stage, you think, oh, they're, you know, that much older and whatever. But anyway, I had to follow them. I followed them for a bit, and then next thing I was playing with them. So it was pretty magical in that respect.
You continued playing with Alan Brown for 50 years.
In different bands, and we had different guys. As we had a Alan sort of went in and out. He always maintained a very strong connection to the roots of early jazz. It's evident in his playing and in his attitude to music. So even up till very, very recently, he had a band with his wife, Margie Lou, playing down at Clay Pots in Ackland Street every Sunday night. And that Alan died just over a year ago.
And they were still...
And he was playing until then. They were probably there for about two or three years or whatever.
And still in that...
And the band is still going now without him, but Alan's daughter, Haley, is playing the washboard in the band. So it was sort of a band which is basically a New Orleans jazz-based band. So Alan kept that connection always, as well as playing very contemporary music with people like Paul Grabowski and Julian Wilson and Eugene Ball and people like that.
That's quite a good way of sort of introducing what's coming up on Friday too, because these are the same names as the people who are going to be featuring in an Alan Brown Memorial Concert.
A tribute concert
on Friday.
Friday, the name.
And you were saying that the format of the night is that there's nine different groups.
I think roughly, I think we get about 15 minutes each. Probably, you know, two or three numbers, which is fine.
And it includes Alan Brown's widow as well. Who
Margie
Lou's
band. They're the last band on the evening, And also, the concert sort of based around working bands. Al had a thing about working bands. He thought the best bands were those bands which played together for a long time. They developed the best sound, like the Miles Davis group and that type of thing, and Louis Armstrong and whatever. Martin Jackson and Eugene Ball, who've organised this, essentially tried to get bands which were nominally sort of working bands as much as possible. So the band I'm playing with, for example, is a band called Virus, which Alan used to play on occasion when our regular drummer couldn't do it. And Brett Eagledon, who was in the Red Onions trumpet player, is coming down to play with us for that concert. So that's sort of that connection.
And you are still, I do know this, you're still playing with Virus.
We've been playing around Fitzroy, Collingwood, whatever, for about 20-odd years.
You know, you've been in the industry since the 60s, but you're still playing. Do you get nervous before a performance?
I'm nervous now. I've got three men staring at me. Yes and no. Only when you're arguing with your instrument do you get nervous. You know, the instrument's not not behaving itself or it says it doesn't like you today. It's that's when you get nervous.
Yeah.
But no.
And in your case, the instruments are guitar and banjo.
Yes.
Yeah. What will you be playing on Friday
I'll be
nights?
Playing guitar. I'm essentially a guitarist these days. I started on the banjo and I still play banjo. I actually do a gig on Wednesday night with playing some banjo in a sort of New Orleans jazz context. So it depends on the genre. You know, you just sort of fit it. Certain things are better in certain contexts.
Let's talk about what's coming up next, which is the track you've actually chosen. He's Not Much, But He's All He Thinks About.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that was the name of the album. And this is, I think, recorded in about 2005. Al was one of those guys who was a very funny man, fantastic on stage, just ad-libbing and stuff. Every time we make a recording, it always seemed to have a crazy song, you know, like this, which is sort of self-referencing and sort of self-effacing, you know, about life experience and whatever. And Barry Humphries, I think, was a big part of that in terms of growing up, seeing Barry Humphries, hearing him and all that sort of thing. So I think that affected Al. And so anyway, it's a fun thing. Yeah.
And it's
intrinsic to his music, and I think it's important to say that, you know, as well.
But this is one. This is the.
You may hate me for playing it, but never mind.
No. This is one of the a lot later than what we heard.
Oh, yes, but we've always had this stuff all along. We did. We sort of did novelty numbers and all that sort of stuff in the old days. It's crazy. Mm. Things he'd hate to think about now. It's like I never did that, you know. Of course, we did.
This is He's Not Much, But He's All He Thinks About. Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9, radio that's out and proud. Joy!
You're on Bent Notes, and I'm Corey tonight, and I've still got a little bit of John Scurry in the studio. And just before you go, we've been hearing a few Alan Brown tracks. Was that you said he's not much, but he's Was that were you also playing on that one too?
Yes, I was playing guitar. Yeah, Stephen Grant on the cornet, Joe Stevenson on the clarinet, Howard Cairns on the double bass, and Alan on the drums.
When I say that, I'm reading it out line by line, and that came off the top of your head. That's perfect. I would like to hear about the next track that we've chosen, called Creole Rhapsody.
The next Creole Rhapsody was a Duke Ellington composition that was formed, I think, in 1928. And when we were in London in 1970 with the Onion, we learnt it off the record. We didn't have no one read music really, except one of the guys. We just listened to it and copied it. And it was a long piece. It was about 15 minutes long. And it's a lovely stanza, the last piece, which is what you're about to hear. We've recently started playing it again in the last maybe 10 years or so. And a few other bands have actually recorded it since we sort of brought it back to life. And this is probably the last most recent one, and recorded a few years ago with great Julian Wilson on tenor sax, and Sam Manning, great bassist, who just returned from New York after about 5 or 6 years back in town. Great bass player.
But true to the same sort of energy you were
saying.
Yeah,
it's a bit more quiet, but it's just it's an example of Alan's playing, which is in a different sort of territory. It's more contemporary territory.
This is Creole Rhapsody by Alan Brown. Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.